Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast with the team at Mach 1 Financial Group. The Mach 1 Market Moment Podcast starts now. Welcome to the Mach 1 Market Moment. I'm Mark Haywood alongside David Lee of Mach 1 Financial Group. He is your retirement income planning specialist serving you in Northwest Arkansas. For past shows, you can check him out online at mach-1financial.com. And as always, come in for a visit. Give the team a call, 479-876-2100. David, I want to talk a little bit about Social Security. I know that's a hot topic. I know there's a lot of opinions on it. I know there's a lot of questions about it. And I know there are a lot of misunderstandings on this topic. So I want you to explain why some of these things are out there that people believe that aren't exactly true.
Yeah, you bet, Mark.
The first one is that Social Security is going broke. I think we hear that all the time. Why might that be a misunderstanding?
To be honest with you, Mark, I mean, I kind of think it is going broke.
Right.
So I'm not sure that's I'm not sure that's a complete misunderstanding. You know, if you look at your Social Security statements, I think they even disclose that right there on the statement itself. I want to say the years in early 2030s or something like that. I can't remember.
It's definitely going to look very different going forward.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's really what I think the truth is. It's going to have to look different going forward. Either that or all of our taxes are going to look a lot worse going forward, right? So here's what I think. I think because Social Security is such an important part of many, many millions of Americans' retirement income, I think it's going to be politically impossible to realistically significantly change that program and essentially pull the rug out from Americans who are either on Social Security or about to be on Social Security. However, we know that something's got to give, right? We know the demographics of the Social Security system are not favorable. Just a few quick facts on this. This is important for people to understand because so many people don't understand it. You know, whenever people hear, oh, we've got, you know, all this debt or we need to cut spending or whatever, everybody's quick to say, well, cut everybody else's spending. You know, let's cut foreign aid, let's cut fraud, waste, and abuse, let's cut military spending. But the truth of the matter is Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid make up about half to slightly more than half of the federal budget. And because of demographics relative to our country, you know, we're having something like 10,000 baby boomers every day becomes eligible for Social Security and Medicare. Plus, Social Security has cost of living adjustments built into it. And so the money that the country spends on Social Security is going to go up every year necessarily just due to demographic forces. That puts tremendous strain on the budget. That on top of the fact that when the New Deal first came out under FDR, there was something like 43 workers putting money into the system for every one worker receiving benefits. And back in those days, you had to be, I believe it was 65 to be eligible to collect benefits. So quick question for you here, Mark. Back in the time when the New Deal came out, you had to be 65 to collect, like I just said.
Right.
What do you think average life expectancy was back then?
Oh, man. I'm going to say back then it was probably a little bit different than today. Let's say 75.
It was 62, actually.
62, so wow.
So you had to actually outlive your life expectancy just to be able to be eligible to collect, right? So you had tons of people putting money into the system, very few people pulling out of the system. And even if you were lucky enough to outlive your life expectancy and be able to collect from Social Security, on average, you'd only collect Social Security benefits for like 2 years before you died. So it was a very solvent system back then. Now, today, we've got like three workers putting money into the system for every one worker pulling money out. And that ratio is scheduled to go to 2-to-1 within the next few years. So, and on top of that problem, obviously people are living longer today, right? I mean, average life expectancy back then was 62. Today it's like 83, 87, something like that. If you live to old enough to, what's that?
I said, oh yeah. And people who are born today could live to be 100.
That's exactly right. So there are major solvency issues with Social Security that are going to have to be grappled with. Here's what I think, though, because it is such a politically difficult problem to solve, but yet it has to be solved because it's such a big part of the federal budget and we won't realistically be able to get our spending under control if we don't deal with it. I think you're going to see Social Security eligibility age slowly increased. I mean, if you think about it, if we had a similar system today that we had when the New Deal came out, you'd have to be like 85 to be eligible to collect. So I think you're going to see for younger folks, people like in their, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s today, I think you're going to see their eligibility age slowly increased up into the 70s range, I'm guessing. I don't know that for sure. But that's what I think is going to be the most likely solution to the problem. So it is a problem. It's not necessarily a myth to say that Social Security is going broke. It is going broke if they don't do something about it, but they're going to have to do something about it.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like by the time, say, folks my age get to be 65 years old. And even before that, it's just going to look different in the future. Yes. Now, another misunderstanding about Social Security. I know there's a lot of opinions on when to take Social Security, when to start drawing your benefits. And I think I've heard a lot that starting your Social Security as early as possible is the best because you have more years to draw. Why might that be a misunderstanding?
Yeah, and also the other theory I've heard about drawing it early is because of what we just talked about the solvency
issue. Right,
issues,
get it now while you still can.
Issues. Right, right. So why that may not be true, and first of all, let me caveat my answer with this. The truth of when you should take Social Security is unknowable. For me to tell you when you should take Social Security, you're going to have to tell me when you're going to die. And of course, we don't know that unless you have some terminal illness or you're very unhealthy by the time you reach 62, then obviously the answer would be take it at 62. Take it as early as you're eligible for it if you think that your life expectancy is going to be short. But if you don't suspect that, and since we don't suspect that the system is going to go under, we think that, you know, the government's going to do something. They're going to change eligibility ages and other things that they need to do to avoid the huge political fallout that would result if they let the system go bust. So assuming something's going to be done and the system's not going to go broke, then barring the assumption that you're in bad health, which would, you know, cause me to recommend that you take it as early as you're eligible, age 62, barring bad health, then you should probably wait. If you think you're going to have kind of an average lifespan, I would encourage you to wait till your full retirement age, which for most of you out there listening is going to be between 66 and 67. There are other benefits of waiting, especially if you're not retired. If you don't retire prior to full retirement age, but yet you turn Social Security on early, you're going to pay penalties for having Social Security income coming in while you also have earned income coming in. So that's not wise to take Social Security early, especially if you're still working. But the truth of the matter is you should probably wait, because Social Security is going to be one of the only and possibly the only tax preferred source of income that you have during retirement. Even under current law, even at the highest income levels, only 85% of your Social Security benefit is subject to tax. So it's, for most people out there, it's the only portion of their retirement income that's not fully taxable. So by delaying your Social Security till further down the road, you're effectively giving yourself a larger portion of your retirement income that is not subject to tax, which is always a wise thing. So there are a number of benefits to waiting, but again, I'll just reiterate the truth of the answer of when you individually out there listening should collect is very, very much dependent upon a whole host of factors. It's dependent upon need. It's dependent upon health. It's dependent upon longevity expectations and other factors.
Well, David, then in that vein of thinking, why not just wait as long as you possibly can?
Well, yeah, good question. And the answer is for the same reasons, because we don't know how long you're going to live. If you wait too long, if you don't have a long life expectancy, then you effectively got less income from the Social Security Administration. Yes, there's a benefit to waiting, because as you probably know, for every year you wait beyond full retirement age, you get 8% more income per year, which again gives you more tax-free income in retirement because a portion of your Social Security is not subject to tax. But it's just not that concrete. It's not a black and white answer saying, well, just wait as long as possible, because we don't know. There are other factors that need to be considered.
Right. It's important to take a look at your unique individual situation and determine what's best for you. And that can be tricky to do. And so some people might say, well, maybe I'll just go to the Social Security Administration and they'll help me to claim the best strategy. Is that a misunderstanding?
Yeah, good luck
with that. Are they going to be that helpful?
Yeah, good luck with that one, because as you'll see, you know, if you go to the Social Security Administration, number one, and I think it's probably this way around most of the country, you're going to end up waiting a long time. You know, those Social Security workers have a lot of people to see, and they don't have time to give individual investment and retirement advice. And besides that, even if they did have time, they're not authorized to do that. They're not authorized to do that. They're not qualified to do that. And as a result, they will not give you advice on whether you should claim, when you should claim, how you should claim. That's why you should come to us or another fiduciary advisor to help you walk you through the factors that need to be considered to help you determine based on your unique, your individual situation, what is the best claiming strategy for you.
All right, David, and one last misunderstanding here. You don't have to pay taxes on Social Security benefits.
Yeah, that's obviously not true. I've kind of mentioned that throughout this segment here, that only a portion of your Social Security income is not subject to tax at certain income levels. It is true that at lower income levels, 0% of your Social Security benefit is subject to taxation. If you're, and this gets complicated, so I won't go into a long drawn out explanation here, but there's something on your tax return known as provisional income, which is basically all of your income sources, plus half of your Social Security income. If that number exceeds, I think, $33,000 for a married filing jointly couple, then 50% of your Social Security is subject to tax. If it's under $33,000, then 0% of your Social Security benefit is subject to tax. If that number goes above, I think it's $44,000, then 85% of your Social Security is subject to tax. So depending on your situation, it could be that 0% of your Social Security income is taxable, or it could be that half of it is taxable, or it could be that up to 85% of it is taxable. So it's definitely a misunderstanding to think that all of your Social Security income is not taxable regardless of your situation.
Right. And that just comes back to the importance there. I think I want to emphasize that it all depends on your unique situation, your life circumstances, and those circumstances are different for everyone. And so, David, what does it look like if someone calls in 479-876-2100 and schedules a visit with your team to get some of these questions answered?
Yeah, so we will do a thorough retirement analysis. And I've said it before, we will take into account a bunch, a host, you could say, of factors. Social Security is just one of the factors that we look at. But when we do a thorough retirement analysis using the software that we use, among many other questions that we can answer, one of the questions that we can help you answer with certitude is, at what age should you collect Social Security? If you're married, at what age should each spouse collect Social Security? Should you do it at 62? Should you wait to 66? Should you wait to 70? Based on your unique situation, based on when you want to retire and what income you want to retire with, and other factors, we can help you answer that question with certainty. So that's valuable. So give our office a call, schedule that complimentary retirement analysis, and we can do that for you.
That number to call is 479-876-2100, 479-876-2100. Come in, get your questions answered about Social Security and any other number of things that you may be wondering about when it comes to your retirement. One more time, that number is 479-876-2100. That's 479-876-2100. This is the Mach 1 Market Moment.
Advisory services offered through Fusion Capital Management, which is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. SEC registration does not constitute an endorsement of the firm by the commission and does not imply that the advisor has achieved a particular level of skill or ability. Please consult your financial advisor, as many financial and insurance products have associated fees. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss.